Hey there, audio listener. As you know, we are currently banned, suspended from YouTube for at least 2 weeks. Carrie Lake is on the show today. But I do ask that you share this, leave a review, a rating. Let people know that they can find us here, whether you're listening on Android, on Apple, on Spotify, so that we don't lose touch with you if we are removed from YouTube. If you want to watch it, go to Rumble, Mug Club. Thank you so much for choosing this show. We know that you have many shows from which to choose, but that most of them are crap.
I'm calling regarding a couple of stories I've seen describing fibrous clots being discovered by embalmers.
I haven't heard anything about that.
No, I haven't heard of it and haven't experienced it.
I have not heard anything about it.
I'll tell you this, since this COVID come out, hell, you got to make at least 3 incisions just to get the clots out the body.
That's unnatural. There's something wrong with that.
Would you be comfortable, like, talking more about this?
I sure would. I think so.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system. The mailbox is full and cannot accept any messages at this time.
I'm really not bothered. I'm really not scared of them. I'm frightened of living a lie and being complicit in this terrible, terrible crime. I refuse to do that.
You guys know what time it is?
What time?
It's Carrie Lake time.
What?
Ooh. Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah. I wore my finest, which means one of my 3 button-down shirts.
And for years.
Very glad to be with you. We have Carrie Lake on the show, and of course, she kind of owes us one because she is one of the reasons for the heart strikes on our YouTube channel. This is why we're streaming right now on Rumble, Mug Club exclusively. Please let everyone know if you can. You can share it. Let people know that we're here on Rumble because nothing would make me happier than long-term never having to stream to YouTube again. And over the course of these next 2 weeks, we are going to do everything that we can't do on YouTube. I can tell you where I, the cigars that I like.
You can.
I can actually tell you which cigars I prefer. I can tell you that the vaccines they don't work. And I can tell you that it's of course the freest and fairest election of all time
for a stolen election. Yeah.
Yes. Also, we're going to fire our guns in the studio. Just a gross violation of basic firearm safety.
Yep.
And city ordinances, I believe.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
By the way, I should also let you know we are streaming the election next Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So we're going to release the details. That means probably not a show on Tuesday morning. Wednesday morning, we will be live streaming the election Tuesday night, as we did. But of course, we can't do it on YouTube. And some would argue that that is by design. A lot to talk about today. We have some updates on Paul Pelosi. Glad that he's doing well. He's recovering. We have the DHS leaks, everything that we've suspected regarding the government working with big tech. Hey, at what point do you no longer say free speech only affects your right for the government to not infringe on your speech? Well, what about when they are telling YouTube, when they are telling Twitter, when they are telling Facebook exactly what they can do? And it's not a conspiracy because there are texts that we have seen.
Hmm.
Some would call that evidence.
Receipts.
Exhibit asshole.
Some.
Yes, some. Some. Different strokes. And we will be talking about our YouTube suspension and exactly how that relates to the election. Carrie Lake. There's a lot to get to. Look, there is a silver lining. Here's a silver lining. This is the biggest conservative show that's ever existed on YouTube, obviously, bar none. We'll get into some of those numbers. We're going to do that today because it's relevant to the story. I hate to do it. Today we will. Then we'll be done with it. Mm-hmm. But the silver lining is the numbers, you guys going over to Rumble and Mug Club, are so substantial. This is kind of the first. We're not quite there yet, but pretty damn close to being on the same plane as we are without YouTube. Long term, would love that. But you guys have to choose. to watch on Rumble, even when we are on YouTube. You have to make that decision, and I understand there are some back-end issues with Rumble. It's not always the most user-friendly, but they are working on that. So, that and more. Before we get into it, Gerald A., how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. You?
Good. Well, I did change my mind yesterday, which will be released on Thursday. 6 hours.
6 hours?
Oof. So, yeah. Yes.
6 hours sitting in the sun debating people that want to kill you.
I got some sun.
That was a long one.
I didn't go to the old tanning salon for Carrie Lake, though I would have regardless.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you love him, fastest man on his feet. We are on tour together. I believe there's still some very few tickets left for Nashville, November 12th, the second show at Ryman Auditorium, 9:30. Dave Landau, how are you, sir?
Ahoy. Good. Yourself?
Good. I forgot to say ladderscredit.com/tour to get tickets.
Yes.
You got a haircut.
I did. It's grayish or blonde. I don't know.
It's a haircut.
It now, is a haircut. Hey, you love it.
So, here, let me ask you.
Says the guy who looks like Ted Kaczynski more every day.
Yes.
It's fair.
Well,
yeah,
it's I'll fair. Allow it because it's accurate. Also,
That's a compliment.
Oh, well, thank you. I also believe Ted Bundy was good looking, so I'll take that if someone can give me.
Well, and a good lawyer.
Yes.
He got himself right in the chair.
Him and Daryl Brooks. Fantastic self-representation. We have, Dale, you're going to be at, I guess, Carnegie Hall, Homestead, in Munn Hall, Pennsylvania, November 26th. There you go.
You just called me Dale. Yeah, I'll be there.
I just call you Dale.
Dale.
Did I say Dale? Because I was looking at Carnegie.
Oh.
Dale Carnegie.
Dale Carnegie.
Oh.
Dave at Carnegie.
I thought it was you. You're just mad and wanted me to be the driver.
No, I just, in my brain fart. 6 hours, I did not sleep. And
no,
honestly,
I would imagine.
My brain is on
Look
Carrie
at them.
Lake.
What's They're going? Making fun of Carrie Lake, speaking of Carrie Lake.
Oh, really? I just thought it was a Bork from Star Trek, but let's go.
They're saying that the candidate jokes about violent attacks.
That are festering within the base.
Why is that projector screen talking?
I don't
right?
know.
Simply another reminder
you mean Worf?
Of how many people
exactly
really don't care about the facts, because so many of those were finally put to rest, even though we know knew many of them to be untrue, by what we learned
still,
even just in that
still going off of this.
Yeah, well, okay, this is relevant because we have some jokes about Paul Pelosi. So...
And you let off with well wishes.
That's like Minority Report condemnation of the sketch that we have coming up on the show.
Exactly.
So before we get to that,
it's like
remember the show
Christina Ricci sees herself. Sorry,
it's if Christina Ricci grew up next to a radiation plant.
Yeah.
Do you remember the show Arthur? That was kind of my first gig.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys know the show though, and I've talked was a little bit racist. It was a little bit racist.
What?
And I don't, but yeah, but LeVar Burton is, you don't have to take my word for it.
Oh. He's a knitter! Knitter! Knitter!
Knitter!
Knitter! No! No, I'm not a knitter! No!
Now I know what they were going for. A miss. That's pretty bad. And by the way, here's the thing. I played the brain. That's what I did.
Yeah.
I don't care. Method actor. The brain's really the only one who should be able to use that word because he's a black bear. Now, I know that because I played the brain, and in the Christmas episode, they had me doing the Kwanzaa song.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what am I doing the Kwanzaa song? They said, well, yeah, it's because he's a black bear. I said, well, first off, I'm not sure if it applies to, I think it applies to black humans, so I think we're in a gray territory. Second, I'm a white guy playing a black bear celebrating a racist holiday. You see the problem with this?
They're like, No.
No, we don't.
By the way, don't stick the hard R, guys. You would still have to go nita.
Yes.
On that.
Exactly.
Okay?
It's true. I had the same dream, but I was dunking.
Just like, yes.
And then the I Wish I Was a Little Bit Taller song was playing in the background.
Right. Yeah. It's the whole Too Short. What was it? Was it Too Short? No, it wasn't.
I don't remember who sang the song.
I get that the word is knitter, but I don't know why you would be accusing someone of being a knitter. And it's just too reminiscent of Roots.
Yeah, and I also, is it just homophobic because he's sewing?
I guess.
I don't know what...
It's bad somehow.
Either way, no matter how they're doing it, it comes off very wrong.
Yes. At least unsettling.
Yes. Even the fact that he's an anteater is a whole thing.
That's the whole thing. Oh. He's a pet dog.
Yeah.
Lots of drugs involved with this idea. Yes. That's the point. Not to mention a sponge who lives under the sea.
Mm. Come on.
Has a friend amoeba. And they do it?
Lives in a pineapple?
Yeah.
You know what pineapple means, swinging.
Well, that's the honeymoon suite.
Yep.
Oh. All right. Speaking of honeymoon suite, everyone,
segue.
Paul Pelosi. Stuff we can't do on YouTube.
Segue.
Paul Pelosi. Now, to be fair, Paul Pelosi, I am glad that he has recovered,
yes,
from what I understand. I obviously do not wish the man physical harm
at all.
At all. I am genuinely happy that he's doing well, doing better. I don't know if he's doing well,
well
he's
yet,
doing better. I mean, I wouldn't consider it a good day,
yeah,
but, you know, it's a better day.
He wakes up and goes, ah, damn it.
Yes. Yeah, he wakes up.
Kill Pelosi.
Nancy, son of a...
Do you think he faked a coma when she came in for visiting hours?
Oh, just, yeah,
closed his eyes again.
Sitting there like, hey, can you hear me, Paul?
Yeah. Huh?
He goes, it's me, Nancy.
Just
that's the most
plug
he's
out.
Said in 5 days.
Yeah.
Just kicks the plug out.
Starts making a noise like a flat line.
Paul's not here.
Just puts a weight on the iron lung.
Yeah. Just starts hitting the morphine drip, yeah, so hard. So he can't feel anything until he sees a light.
Yeah. And even just out of goodwill, the nurses would remove the rate limiter, yeah, on the morphine. You're like, yeah, oh, let me just take that out. You know what? I replaced the morphine with a lot of fentanyl.
Yeah. Nancy's coming in and just drinking the morphine, yes, out like a straw.
She's sneaking it in her purse like snacks at a restaurant. No. They want you to take the biscottis. So, Paul Pelosi, of course, was attacked, Nancy Pelosi's husband, violently attacked in their San Francisco home. Okay. So let's move through now. They were just doing this on CNN. There are a lot of mistruths around here. Here's the claim that you've heard. And Gerald, you know a little bit more about this.
Yeah.
Because I've been in Change My Mind as far as the granular sort of details. The claim is that the attacker was a right-wing extremist motivated by Republican rhetoric. That's what they've been saying.
The alleged violent intruder, David DePapp, is now facing federal charges for breaking into the Pelosi's home and beating Paul Pelosi with a hammer early Friday morning. The federal criminal complaint released today reveals that the suspect, who trafficked online in far-right conspiracy theories about COVID and the 2020 election and Holocaust denialism, quote, stated that he was going to hold Nancy hostage and talk to her.
These threats are on the rise. And I have to tell you, have to draw the straight line between what is happening on the ground as these threats become centralized to decentralized from January 6th to spread out across the country. The straight line of
spread out,
Marjorie
the
Taylor
way you
Green,
like your Chinese
Lauren
spies,
Boebert, others in the MAGA Republican
like
Party who glorify violence, and their leader Kevin McCarthy
glorify
who
violence?
Says nothing about it and does nothing to stop it.
Any evidence?
Well, it's disgusting. I mean, obviously, this is somebody that has been convinced. You know, I think even without having to do much research, he's been convinced that the election was stolen, that there is a cabal of people running the government, that, you know, it's not government forever by the people, as he's been convinced. And, you know, who knows what else is there to,
I don't know, Adam, do a Google search.
This. Yeah. But the fact is,
Wolf Blitzer
is
looks like Richard Dreyfuss playing Wolf
media.
Blitzer.
I'm not going to do this true journalist shit.
Yeah, no. I spent all my money on coke. I'm still acting now.
I don't need this lowest score on ever Celebrity Jeopardy crap. So, okay. Carrie Lake can't get here soon enough. I don't even want to discuss it. Here's the truth, all right? The attacker, David DePapsmear, was an absolutely insane person. Now, I know you're saying, how do you know that?
Mm.
Well, okay, he was mentally ill. It's on the record. And he was a nudist activist.
Yes.
From what I understand, he did the administering of the hammer beating in his underwear.
He did. He was in his underwear. And there's a lot of stuff about this story that makes people question what happened. The glass seemingly being on the outside, looking like something may have happened on the inside. that
I learned that in my detective novels,
right,
as a kid. They're like, oh, well, look at this picture. How do you? Oh, the glass is on the outside. That means that it came from within.
Right.
And the detectives here, what was it, the FBI? They couldn't catch on?
I have no idea. But it's weird that he went on a bathroom break, took his cell phone, and that's when he called police. So I didn't realize that in a kidnapping that bathroom breaks were an option, especially with cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Who knew? But also that the attack didn't happen until police arrived. Like they were actually struggling, I guess, over the hammer when the police arrived. That's when the struggle started and then hit him. I'm like, you have guns. There's a guy in his underwear attacking what I think is another guy in his underwear. One has reason to be because he's in his own home and asleep. The other guy, no reason to be. By the way, if you're a nudist, that's not full commitment.
No, that's not.
That is absolutely.
No. That's a lazy nudist.
That is a lazy nudist. He was a nudist, hippie, BLM supporter.
That guy's gun shy.
Or never nude.
Yeah.
Shows up in jorts.
I'm a boxerist. What? I didn't even think that was a thing. So there's a lot of reason why people are like, hold on, this doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. And by the way, there's video cameras all over this place. Home cameras, allegedly. Everything like that. No, they just don't work like Epstein's cell. By the way, this guy didn't kill himself. I'm just going to say it ahead of time.
Yeah.
This guy did not hang himself in a cell.
Well, you know, we could have a happy ending. He might. Now, DePapp's mayor, just to give an idea, he also disappeared more than a year. He disappeared for more than a year, by the way. And his girlfriend described him, saying, he came back in very bad shape. He thought he was Jesus. I had a neighbor in New York who thought he was Jesus, too.
Yeah, well, and then that D.C. guy, I guess Jesus traveled.
That was Bruce Christ. A lot of Jesuses. My Jesus, though, in New York, this Jesus, you know, this is not so much being the spotless lamb dying on the cross for your sins. He enjoyed pissing down the elevator shaft.
So you didn't think he was Jesus?
I think he was the Jesus of peeing down the elevator shaft.
Well, it's kind of a miracle.
Yes.
It's not.
I mean, he didn't have to aim. Just kind of a spray and pray. So she said he came back in very bad shape. He thought he was Jesus. He was constantly paranoid, thinking people were after him. By the way, you can comment below what sounds fishy about this story. And you can hit the Rumble button, because I guess that's what they don't have, the YouTube like button. You said he was a Black Lives Matter guy?
Well, so they had a picture of the house that he was supposed to be living at that had a Black Lives Matter flag there and some other paraphernalia from far left. And that's what Jake Tapper accidentally left out of his story. One, it's not a right kind of thing. It's not a Republican thing to be a Holocaust denier. That is a crazy person or Ayatollah thing,
yes.
Right? That's limited to those two camps.
Right.
This guy was a nudist hippie who had visited tons of far left-leaning. That's the detail that he left out that others have reported on, that he visited tons of left-leaning, super far left sites as well. And it's like, Jake is just trying to frame it as Republicans.
And notice what they wedge in there? The same reason they removed our interview with Carrie Lake. Election denier.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So now we've automatically assumed that Holocaust denial is right-wing. Sort of like we've assumed that Hitler was right-wing despite the fact that socialist is in the name. We've gone through the policies. I never walk that back because you think Hitler was a leftist socialist? Absolutely, yes. Because he said so. His writings confirmed it, and it was the name of his party. So they try and automatically say right-wing fascist. No. Okay, they say right-wing Holocaust denial. No. Then they say, and right-wing election denial. Hold on a second. That's also a left-wing thing. Hillary Clinton is still doing it today. Stacey Abrams is still doing it today. And that is not exclusive to the right wing. By the way, I don't think you're a crazy person. If you believe that we need better election security, whether you're Jimmy Carter, whether you're Amy Klobuchar, whether you're Hillary Clinton, I don't think that you're crazy. I really don't. I disagree with how they are claiming the elections are rigged. But that doesn't make somebody insane, and it certainly doesn't make someone right wing. Claiming you're Jesus and being a nudist and breaking into a house with a hammer, I'm not a clinical psychologist or psychiatrist. Yeah. I'm not a doctor. Would seem to me like those are red flags.
You could say it's silly.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, he also wanted to talk with Nancy Pelosi.
He was a rogue knitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Knitter.
Shows up with whittle sticks.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, this guy was such a political, like his motive was so clear that he was trying to go after Nancy Pelosi that he couldn't be bothered to do some research and figure out if she was in the state of California that evening.
Yes.
She was in Washington, D.C. She's a rather public figure. You're such a politically motivated person to make sure that your voice is heard, and you're going to attack Nancy Pelosi, that you go to houses that are an entire country away from where Nancy Pelosi is at.
Well, let's just even compare, by the way, the crazy election deniers. And I'm not talking about just like Mike Lindell and Dominion voting machines and the, you know, ghost of Chavez. What I'm saying is, let's look at the crazy election deniers. You'll say, oh, they lost all the lawsuits, which is not true. But the crazy election deniers, is it as insane as someone who didn't even know that the Speaker of the House has to be in Washington, D.C. for a certain portion of the year, often with schedules that are publicly available? They had to look into the laws of the Constitution of the state of Pennsylvania. They had to look into the ballots, unmarked ballots. They had to look into what percentage of people were voting who might not necessarily be legal voters in that country. They had to look to the data of every single major urban metropolitan area that Donald Trump was winning by a higher margin than 2016, except for five key cities in those swing states. In other words, there's a little, you may disagree with it, but there's a little bit of due diligence there. This guy just showed up to someone's house when the person he allegedly was trying to attack wasn't even there, in his underwear with a hammer, and it didn't even start getting the hammering until the cops got there. Whether you think that the election deniers are wrong, it's not the kind of insanity that you see here, and he's not a Republican.
Well, and let's look at the kind of insanity that it actually is. It's the as much as I don't agree, and I'll go ahead and say it, that you should hit an 80-year-old man with a hammer. I've always said you should.
I appreciate that you're willing to stick your neck out there. You take the risk.
I'm willing to.
I know.
I'm a strong person.
Yeah, balls of steel.
I got values.
Yes.
And I'm going to stick to them. Don't hit 80-year-olds with hammers. 82? Go for it. No, I
be ready
don't.
For the hate. Be ready for the hate.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But you are blameless.
Yes. But this is the society that you're creating. First of all, this is the third most powerful person in the country.
Mm-hmm.
You've now created a society that doesn't care about mental illness. You've defunded the police. You have $80,000, I think they spend a month on security, who's obviously doing a bang-up job. you're able to get into a gated community. You're surrounded by all this crime, all this problem. This is what you wanted. This is the society that was created by your entire party. That's why somebody's in your house attacking you with a hammer.
Right.
I'm sorry. That's the reality.
Right.
This is cause and effect. And I am sorry that this happened to Paul Pelosi. I think it sucks.
Yeah.
But it's like, this is what you want. Mm. This is the crime, and this is how high it's going. How much higher does it need to get till we actually stop it?
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring up is it $80,000? Is how much it costs for the security? I know it's a lot of money.
It's something like that. Not the exact number, but it is an insane amount of money they have on security detail.
Less effective than Ring.
Yes. My Ring works fine. It would have at least had the guy once as opposed to 28 something security cameras.
Yeah, exactly. It would have had him once. You might not really be able to do much. You'd be like, that's a guy in his underwear with a hammer.
Yeah.
By the way, this is also, people talk about firearms, and yes, I advocate that people have firearms in their home, that you carry firearms responsibly. I've said this time and time again. More important than that, get a dog. Get a dog. And I don't mean a little dog that serves no purpose. Great. You have little dogs, you like them, that's fine. I mean, get a dog that is an effective alarm system. Cops will tell you time and time again, it is the most effective deterrent. And if it doesn't matter if you don't replace the batteries. Now.
Especially when the dog's speaking English to you.
Yes, exactly.
Giving you a list.
Well, this guy did have a dog that spoke English to
him. That's his neighbor's dog.
And he was like, oh, today you should wear the briefs. So.
Go get Pelosi.
There's a lot of speculation, of course, over exactly what happened. Okay.
Yeah.
So we've tried to give you some details. But we actually now can remove some of the guesswork from the equation because we have some, I don't want to say inside information, we have exclusive audio from the incident, the police responding to the scene that hasn't been revealed yet. This is an exclusive.
Yes, responding to a complaint from the Pelosi household, I'm outside, and from the glass on this patio, it appears someone tried to break out of the house. Suspect that Nancy is on another bender and forgot how to work the doors again.
Stop it! Stop it!
All right, sir, I'm entering. Mr. Pelosi, you're bleeding. I'll untie you so you can get out of this comically oversized diaper and wash that candle wax off your chest.
When I said I wanted to get hammered, this wasn't it! This wasn't it!
I'm Jesus! We have a 180-10 white guy with dreadlocks. He's got a hammer. Over. Sir, you are not, in fact, Jesus. You are absolutely not Jesus Christ.
The cure for cancer is in my poop.
Sir, I need you to calm down. The cure for cancer is not in your poop, sir.
You gave my friend a pedophile.
Sir, the government... We can discuss that later.
Hey, get this obvious Republican away from me, or we'll defund you for realsies this time.
All right, requesting backup. We have an actual emergency at the Pelosi house.
Roger, has Nancy overdosed on pills again, sir?
No, not this time.
So, alcohol poisoning?
No, I'm here with Paul Pelosi. This one is pretty rare.
So, gay hammer orgy with a liberal will save the Republican?
Okay, not that rare.
No further questions.
Makes sense.
Oh, by the way, this is a live show, Monday through Thursday. I would say YouTube, but you can't watch on YouTube right now. You can watch on Rumble. It's 10 a.m. Eastern. Right. You can also listen to the audio podcast. This is a good time to do that if you're not subscribed on Apple, on Android, on Spotify. Look, just sort of cover your bases. We've been trying to diversify our portfolio for a while.
Right.
No one has been able to have a show that has been sustainable, tenable, outside of, for example, like YouTube, Apple, and we're there. It won't be as big as when it's on YouTube. That's why we still want to use YouTube. But the more you help us diversify, the less dependent anyone is on YouTube. So we are very grateful to you. Please do consider signing up. Were you about to say something, Gerald?
No, you're good.
Let's get up to the Department of Homeland Security.
Yes, because
the leaks.
Carrie Lake.
We do have Carrie Lake. Okay. So do you remember last spring when the DHS, I'm just going to say DHS, when the DHS set up and they almost immediately, and by almost I mean immediately, disbanded the Disinformation Governance Board? Here's a reminder.
The board has never convened. It never convened, and the board is pausing in the sense that it will not convene while former Secretary Chertoff and former Deputy AG Gorelick do their assessment. But the departments work across several administrations to address disinformation that threatens the security of our country is critical, and that will indeed continue.
This is the, of all people in America that communicate with the media, this is the person you chose to tell the story?
Yeah, not to mention she answers half the questions with, oh, Tay.
She's a moron.
Now tell something about me that they don't know.
She drives a go-kart with a fan. Now, documents obtained by The Intercept. Good work on their part. I recommend you go and check it out. All references are available at loudestcutter.com. There were some leaks. Seems there were ongoing lawsuits, and there were some public records as well that show some incredibly disturbing trends. Let me hit you with some facts and how it kind of relates to what's going on right now. So DHS employees and, of course, leaders in big tech, we've suspected this, and we knew they were somewhat in communication because Jen Psaki said, hey, Spotify, remove stuff we don't like. You know, right, yeah. But that's what we see. We didn't know how much was going on behind the scenes. We had a hunch, but now we know in a text message, former DHS official and current Microsoft executive... Wow. I'm sorry. First off, before I even say, so much wrong with that.
Yes.
With that statement, text message. We've worked with YouTube quite a bit.
Yeah.
I've been out to Google headquarters in New York, in Austin, right? We've met with chief content officers for YouTube, for Facebook, for Twitter. I've been banned or suspended from every single platform at one time or another. Never do they text you. You don't have a text message ability with these people. So in a text message, former DHS official and now Microsoft executive. Think about that. This was someone texting his buddies in tech when he worked for the administration and then went to go work for tech in an executive position. This is the swamp. Guy's name is Matt Masterson. He told the DHS director, John Easterly, quote, platforms have got to get comfortable with government. It's really interesting how hesitant they remain. Now, let me hold on.
Handsome devil.
Yes. Let me break this down for you for a second. Remember when people say, oh, the age of journalism is dead? I think we all acknowledge that there's far more journalism taking place online now. And a necessary method of communication online is social media, these platforms. And they are platforms. They're treated as platforms, not as publishers. Shouldn't journalists and shouldn't critics of the government be as uncomfortable with them as possible? Shouldn't that be the set point?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've always viewed media and government, it should be almost like our legal system, an adversarial system. The fact that they are texting each other and then exchanging jobs, just to be clear, saying platforms have got to get comfortable with government. Disagree. It's really interesting how hesitant they remain. This is them being hesitant?
I would hate to think of what they would do if they weren't hesitant, but that is a chilling conversation that these guys are having. In his brain right now, he is saying, I can't imagine why they would be hesitant with the government telling them that they need to remove stuff or censor stuff or at least soft ban, shadow ban stuff. Like, I can't imagine why they would be hesitant. It's like, do you understand how this works, the digital kind of public square? Do you understand what kind of problem that you're creating? Let's assume that you're not Satan incarnate and that you don't want to destroy every freedom that we have. Maybe the next guy does, and you're putting the work, the groundwork is being laid to be able to do that. You're doing the work for them. This should never come out of your mouth. I don't care if you're an executive in Microsoft or at DHS. Nobody should think this is okay.
You know what else came out of his mouth?
Oh, boy.
Pea soup. So,
well, no, that's just possessed by the devil, not the devil incarnate.
Now we have June 2020. There are some notes from meetings that show that tech platforms would be asked to, quote, process reports and provide timely responses to include the removal of reported misinformation from the platform where possible. Now, I know people on the left are going to say, well, yeah, get rid of misinformation. Okay, we've always made the argument. Who defines misinformation?
Exactly.
For example, I'm not saying that Democrats are Nazis, but in 1930s, 1940s Germany, misinformation was saying, oh, no, hold on a second. Jews aren't responsible for all the diseases and poverty. That would have been misinformation.
Yeah.
Off you go. Misinformation at some points in this country would have been, oh, no, hold on a second. Black people are not inferior to white people. They deserve the same rights. Remember, the Republican Party had to push that with the Civil Rights Act. That would have been considered misinformation. misinformation at one time would have been, whoa, hold on a second. Maybe that person was not a right-wing extremist, for example, in Las Vegas. That would have been misinformation. Misinformation would have been, whoa, hold on a second. Maybe lockdowns actually don't have a net positive effect, which now the WHO and CDC acknowledges. That would have been misinformation. When you allow the government to determine misinformation, and it's not being determined by any kind of objective standard, but what most benefits them at that moment in time, you've now relinquished power to effectively, if not evil, a selfish institution. This brings us to March 2022 in a meeting with tech companies put on by the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. I'll just call them CISA. Laura Demlow, an FBI official, synonym useless, warned, "We need a media infrastructure that is held accountable. We need to early educate the populace. Critical thinking seems to be a problem currently." Well, hold on a second, though. Critical thinking, like questioning, for example, experimental mRNA therapy. You may disagree with the conclusion, but is it not critical thinking to be critical of something like, wait, do you mean critical thinking like saying, hey, hold on a second, I don't think that lockdowns are a good idea. Do you mean critical thinking like saying, well, hold on a second, I don't necessarily know that this came from a bat sandwich. Seems like this might have been engineered in a lab. You may disagree with the conclusion, but that is critical thinking. You don't want critical thinking. You want to ban critical thinking, as we see from more information here. June 2022. Vijaya Gad, however we pronounce it, I don't care, helped draft a report to CISA asking the agency to, quote, help shape the information ecosystem.
Well, and I'm sorry, we should have done a better job of helping you with the setup there. Former Twitter employee.
Yes.
Vijaya Gad.
Well, I think everyone knows.
Isn't the other day former employee?
It should be celebrated because it was so recent.
It was so recent. That's true.
This person who was basically out there saying that we need to do more to censor. You and I actually had this moment where I think Facebook and everybody was called before a Senate committee, I believe is what it was. And they were looking at information being censored on the platform. We're like, oh, thank God, it's about time. And then that hearing goes off. I'm like, yeah, you should be doing more. We're like, son of a, I didn't think it was going to go that way.
No, who would have thought? I would love to have been a fly on that wall when Elon Musk's walked into, how do I pronounce her name? Vijaya? It's like, hey, who are you? Who are you? I'm Vijaya. Well, what do you do? I work as a chief content officer at Twitter. No, you don't.
Yes. You mean old Twitter? Yeah. Yes.
Oh, you mean you did?
Yes.
Whose office is this?
So you are not native tongue, so sometimes your past sounds like present.
Yeah.
I don't know why my Elon Musk is Russian.
Russian. I think he made her office into the executive bathroom, essentially, for Elon.
Why are you in my toilet room?
Yes.
This is crazy.
Yes, get out.
I have brought sink to hit you.
Why are you taking my toilet paper?
These
are pictures of my family.
Old school.
By the way, hit the Rumble button again in this segment. It just helps with Rumble. Show Rumble that you want to be on their platform, you know, interact, comment, give them some love. They're doing a lot of good work. All right, here's another fact that you need to know, and you guys are free to jump in whenever you want. There is, by the way, now a formalized process for the government to directly flag content to Facebook.
Oh, good.
And to Instagram. So government officials, and all references are available at letterscredit.com, can directly petition for content to be flagged, suppressed, removed. Now, we suspected this. Obviously, we've been talking about this for a long time. They've done it publicly, but now we know that it's been going on systemically behind the scenes for a long period of time. It's the difference between something acute versus chronic. And now we see that we are obviously having to deal with both. Here's another one. The DHS was, by the way, they were integral into shaping the 2020 election. So, remember we talked about the Hunter Biden laptop story?
Yeah.
Now, keep in mind, Rudy Giuliani, I remember we were all shocked when he showed that laptop on this show.
Yeah.
The first time it had ever been seen by the public. He's like, well, you know, I have his laptop here with all this child pornography. We're like, whoa.
And then he showed Hunter's.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. All this. I was like, that's the laptop? Yeah, it's right here. This is his laptop. I'm like, what? You're just showing that? He's like, anyone can come. The FBI doesn't want, do you want the laptop, Steven? I'm like, no, I don't want the laptop. Well, you probably shouldn't because it's nothing but teenage pornography. It's disgusting. So the point is, it happened. It was on this show. We were directly involved with that. I don't plan to break news. But that story, Hunter Biden. It was two FBI agents from the San Francisco office. They were involved, these communications that led to censoring the Hunter Biden laptop story. I should say allegedly. By allegedly, I mean, go read the documents, okay? Prior to, it's kind of like the Ashley Biden diary. You're like, we don't know if it's true. Tell me it's not.
Handwriting? Then maybe it's true.
Oh, what are you, a calligraphy major?
Yes.
What? You're in the penmanship club?
Yeah.
Okay, it's her diary.
Guilty! Are you an election worker that has to look at a signature and compare it to another one really quickly?
Oh, don't spoil it.
It's my only job.
Spoiler alert much? Yeah. Now, prior to the election, the DHS flag.
It's seriously.
Did you see this number? 4,800 pieces of misinformation to tech companies. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not a lot. It's only
the Department of Homeland Security flagged 4,800 people. And by the way, 35% of them, that's a good batting average,
yeah,
were removed or censored completely.
Hmm.
On Twitter, I had people posting fake swastika tattoos and quotes of me saying, murder all the Jews. And I said, hey, that's not true. I didn't do that. They're like, well, we can't do anything. So to get 35% of 4,800 pieces removed, that is an unbelievable batting average. Now,
well, the Ayatollah liked the tweet.
Yes, he did.
So that was interesting.
Yes, he did. He's also a big Lizzo fan. Now,
really? Yeah.
We just to give you some context, okay? Some of this content that has been removed, we know for a fact, is ours. So here's an example. We received a hard strike. Now we've had three this year, but how it works is 90 days.
Yeah.
If you get three in 90 days, your account is removed. This one was a while ago from you. Apology accepted. Right now, the last two in these 90 days are Kerry Lake and the more recent one where we don't know. We talked about Elon Musk. We still have no idea. But this was a strike that we received a while ago, which would have been flagged by the DHS based on the evidence that you see, where Gerald mentioned and we sourced the CDC statistics on air regarding the flu and child mortality. This was why our account was suspended for 2 weeks last time.
And by the way, all the people who were saying that this was as deadly as the flu, the seasonal flu, they were right for people under 40.
Yes.
Right? And for people under 20, statistically 0% chance.
It's actually much less deadly than the flu to young people. Now, remember, this is why this is important. And this is a lot of people. What was all that tape? What were we doing that day?
The COVID show.
Oh!
Yeah.
It was a COVID show. Statistically 0%
I think the whole theme may have attributed to that.
Yes. But I was right.
You were no, you directly correct. Quoted. Yeah, and then they actually released even more information that verified what you said.
Yeah,
and they confirmed it, by the way. Yeah. And I don't know if you know this now. If you're sick and you go in, I would love for you to comment below. If you have been sick lately, the flu has been going around. Disappeared in 2020.
Wait, that's back?
I know.
First year, huh?
It's bringing coughing back.
Yeah, I can't believe it. It went away forever. I thought it was done.
I know. It's back now, and I knew 10 people who got the flu. And I know this because they were in a theater. They were in a show. And all of them got the flu. You know, it spreads. None of them were tested for COVID when they went in. None of them. Not one. If you are sick right now and you have gone into the doctor or you've gone into urgent care, please comment below. Did they test you for COVID? And how does it contrast with the testing for COVID back in 2021? See how you can manipulate statistics? If you just don't test for something, if you just don't ask that question in a poll, it's like it doesn't exist. Okay, more on this story. According to DHS's, their quadrennial Homeland Security review, they plan to target misinformation, this is again at The Intercept, related to the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic. By the way, even Fauci said, we don't know.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that's a conspiracy if Fauci, at his best, is saying we don't know, which means it absolutely originated in the lab.
It was in the lab. Yep, 100%.
U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan, misinformation.
Bigger story than Benghazi, most likely, if we dig into it.
Meaning that it wasn't done very well. Americans were left. And not to mention helicopters, equipment. Another issue.
Don't forget cash. That's important.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. The nature of U.S. support to Ukraine.
Mm.
And my personal favorite, racial justice. So misinformation related to racial justice. Now keep in mind, and we're going to get to this right here, but I don't know if Kerry Lake is okay if we start maybe 5-10, because I would love to do the segment on Kerry Lake with Trevor Noah if we start 5 minutes later or 10 minutes later. Keep in mind, racial justice, we got a hard strike at this very show when we supported the police officer who stopped who prevented a stabbing of a young black girl, Micaiah Bryant. This was another reason we were suspended. Here she is attempting to stab another girl before she is shot. I warn you, for people, this could be disturbing. It's not super clear and graphic, but still, the mere concept of this is disturbing.
Hey. What's going on? What's going on? Hey. 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 Get down. Get down. Get down.
Oh, I didn't know he'd come back to me.
Yeah.
It's because it's me there, then it's me here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I think Mekhi Bryant was shot. That she was the person.
Sorry, Mekhi Bryant was shot, who was trying to stab another black girl.
The thing that you saw was a knife who had just been handed to her by, I believe, her father in the driveway just a minute or two.
And the officer was called by the girl who was about to be stabbed.
Yes.
The officer saying, there's a girl grabbing a knife saying she's going to stab me. He showed up and she was like, I'm going to stab you.
It's
I'm
a
stab
miracle.
You. They're like, how did you know she was going to stab her? Well, she had a knife and she said she was going to stab her repeatedly. So I figured she wasn't clicking
the
right cross.
Life of the person who wasn't acting violently.
Right.
Yes. One way to put it.
But that's the quandary. You shot a black person to save a black person. Let's just call it racist. So that was removed from YouTube. Hard strike. And we also had another hard strike, you know, CDC. But the most recent one was Carrie Lake, the interview with her, where she questioned some issues surrounding a primary election that she won. And then last week was a show regarding Elon Musk's takeover of Twitter. We still don't know exactly what it is. By the way, all of that banned content, we've consolidated the two strikes, put it into one video. It's available on Rumble right here. I think you have it at rumble.com/Steven Crowder. There you go. So you can go and watch it. We'll have it titled The Banned Content from YouTube so you can see exactly what it is that resulted in the ban. We want you guys to see. Judge for yourself if it's ban-worthy. Okay. So this brings us to... YouTube giving us the boot. Now, let me give you my conspiracy. Let me give you some numbers, and then I'll give you an inference. Okay. So they suspended us. We know that. Okay. They've cited violating the harassment threats cyberbullying policy. I don't know what threats. No idea. Again, this is a second strike in 90 days. That's why we will not be streaming to YouTube, because we don't want the account to be removed. We're doing it exclusively on Rumble. Okay. Here's why YouTube... Here's an argument that I would make. Okay. And you guys all know that we don't really do this a lot. I don't like extolling the numbers. You have people who go out there and say, number one show, look how popular we are. I think it's relevant to this story, especially as we go into an election. To put a finer point on it, Carrie Lake is going to win the governorship. And they removed a viral interview with Carrie Lake. One of the first viral interviews. It was an interview that was actually used in attack ads against Carrie Lake in the state of Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not outside the realm of plausibility that if the left is using it, these PACs are using it in attack ads, and they're communicating with big tech that there are some text messages going on there. So, finer point, interview with Carrie Lake, about to win a governorship, who, by the way, would be bad for big tech, probably implement some kind of a law like Texas and Florida where you can sue big tech for censorship of political point of view. They want her gone. Okay. And we're out 2 weeks leading up to and including the election, and more people in 2020 watched this show, me at this desk, this show on election night than any other program, period. News, television, online, podcast, period. So here's why I think the numbers are relevant. Over the last 30 shows that we've done, 119 million total views, just to give you an idea. Okay, 30 shows, 119 million total views, and that doesn't include the Rumble or Mug Club numbers, I don't think. Maybe it includes Rumble, doesn't include the Mug Club numbers. And in the last 30 days alone, leading up to the ban, over 54 million views on YouTube at a very long watch time. We were going to be approaching the 100 million number within a 30-day period, and we had 119 over 30 shows. I said, because no one else does that. And I don't say that because I'm boastful. I'm incredibly grateful and humbled. That's because of you. You could pick anywhere, and you choose to watch with us, and so many of you choose to follow us here on Rumble. I cannot thank you enough. And you know what? Carrie Lake can come here on this show on Rumble today, and there's still a significant enough viewership that it matters. Even outside of YouTube, you can see the numbers right now. You can do a test as you see Carrie Lake on this show. Take that number, double it when you're taking into account Mug Club. Now, as it relates to the recent elections, 2020, we had over 16 million total views, minimum across the two streams on Facebook and YouTube. I say minimum because it was removed on Facebook. We don't know the number on Facebook. At a minimum, 16 point something million. Would have been far higher if the stream was not taken down on Facebook. Now, biggest election stream that existed, if you search Steven Crowder 2020 election, or I'm sure you could type in louder with Crowder 2020 election, what do you get? Do you get the most popular election stream from 2020? No, you get low view count criticism of this channel, of this program, of our stream, as the first results. Hey, I thought the algorithm was designed to serve the viewer. Our actual video of that election is not even on the first page. Knowing what we know now about the DHS, knowing that we've been struck because of Gerald quoting the CDC, knowing that they removed a current gubernatorial candidate who was likely going to win for questioning the primaries of an election that she won, And knowing the numbers of this show, would it stand to reason that they don't want us to be live streaming the election or really cranking up the intensity as it comes to election time? When you're talking about many billions of plays across platforms, you have made an impact. You have made an impact. We only exist because of you. And we're not beholden to YouTube advertisers. That's why we're able to do it here. It's fun. It's a little more relaxed. They don't want you there.
Yeah, and I can't believe that they had the balls to do this, by the way. Right before an election, coming after one of the largest platforms, period, but the largest platform that's going to be having the people like Carrie Lake on and giving them even more of a voice in politics leading up to the election, then doing an election live stream. You should have bit your tongue, YouTube. If we stepped on any gray lines that you have created, intentionally gray, so that you can just kind of say willy-nilly we want to ban you, you shouldn't have done it right now. You just fanned the flame.
Yeah.
You basically just showed people that you were willing to do stuff like this. And are we surprised with the Hunter Biden laptop story? We've covered this before. People would have changed their minds. We've asked people before. They've had polling on this. They would have changed their minds if that Hunter Biden laptop story had not been suppressed and removed.
Right. Well, let me give you another example here. And I'm using our numbers here because I think this is important, because then policy changed. For example, I said Black Lives Matter is a terrorist organization. We need to change my mind. That had over 10 million plays just on YouTube. Now you're not allowed to say that on YouTube. You can be removed. Rape culture is a myth. Change my mind. 14 million plays. Okay. Then we did, for example, where I crashed a feminist film festival in my underwear that had 31 million plays.
It was because of the underwear.
Yeah, it was because of the underwear.
Did you have Luckily, hammer?
No, he did not. Yeah.
That's exactly where I was going.
That's a lot of nut!
I did have to put on two pairs of underwear because I went and bought a pair of briefs at Dollar Tree.
Yeah, they're not.
Because I thought briefs was funnier than the underwear that I wear, right? Yeah. And then I was like, ooh, this is basically saran wrap.
Yeah, Dollar Tree's no good.
So I got, for the I underwear. Wore two or three pairs of
briefs. Yeah, yeah.
And then we were safe.
The Vietnamese rash that came with them.
Yes. Now, here's the thing. You wouldn't be able to do this if not for the fact that we were, sort of legacied in, backdoored in. There are only two genders, change my mind, 44 million plays. You cannot say that now. Misgendering is a violation of YouTube's hate and harassment policies. So you get 44 million people who tune in. Then YouTube says, ooh, this is gaining traction. We're now going to make that against the rules, even though they're legally not allowed to do that because they are a platform. And so the end result is when they change the policy, and we work around it, let's just remove this channel as it leads into election time. Why do I think that's the case? Because all of the DHS text messages and emails that you can now check at louderwithcrowder.com, wonderful work from The Intercept. There is no guesswork anymore. They are doing this, they are removing content, and we have been removed, and the interview with Carrie Lake has been removed going into an election. This is, without a doubt, election meddling. You don't need to deal with Russians buying Facebook ads. You don't need to deal with Dominion. This is enough. Silencing the Hunter Biden laptop story, sure, and that's terrible. Silencing a gubernatorial candidate and the biggest conservative channel that could effectively communicate the message leading up to election time, that is election meddling. Do we all agree?
100%.
No, I think a lot of stuff that's going on right now is election meddling.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they did.
Or potentially.
And I know we've got to get to Carrie Lake, so I'm keeping my.
I have a whole segment
short.
On Trevor Noah.
I know. But
can we do it with her? Or, I don't know.
Yeah, we probably go
do it with her.
I'm sure
yeah.
she would love to see it. But here's the thing. When they send that to you in their email, they say, we want you to correct your mistakes. We want you to recognize the error of your ways.
Right.
And then they don't tell you what you did. They just say you violated this policy. And I'm like, okay, was somebody not watching this video and said, oh, this moment right here at time code blank. Hey, boss, come here. Take a look at this. Is this a hard strike? Boss says, yes, that's a hard strike. Let's notify the content creator. Nothing. By the way, every time our lawyer emails and asks, hey, can you tell us the time codes so that we can understand where we broke your rules? It's almost never given.
Right.
We have to press and press and press and press to get the information. They don't want this fixed. They just want to be able to arbitrarily say, you broke our rules. You can't be on our platform. And it's just weird, the timing.
Yeah, well, the timing is weird, or I would say actually perfect on their part. But here's the deal. Look, if we're at this point, and I'm incredibly grateful, I want to at some point be able to step back. I've talked about that. I'm not going to step back from what I'm doing until I see someone else who can carry the mantle, fill this void. That we're not seeing that yet. I want to see those kids coming up. But what chance do they have if when we are at this point, they're still being so flagrant with it? That's what worries me. I never want to be, like we've talked about this in comedy, like the Sarah Silverman, who was hilarious, but sort of shock comedy, and then pulling the ladder up behind them and saying, actually, you can't use those words. I never want to be that guy. I don't want to be the guy who says, well, I got mine. That's why we sit here and we continue to fight. That's why we still want to be on YouTube in some capacity. It'd be a lot easier for us if we never were again. It's a pain in my ass. But I want to make sure that the next kid has the opportunity to grow their channel. They want to make, they want you to be afraid to even try. That's what it is. It's taking someone out back and executing them so that everyone else sees that as an example. All right, let's bring on. We have her, I believe.
Yep.
Okay, we have her. I don't know if we can do the Trevor Noah segment with her. Toolman, are we? Would that be too tough to do?
You are be able to see it.
Would she be able to see it?
Yeah, I could do that.
Oh, okay. All right, and make sure that I can see her. All right, everyone ready?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone ready? Everyone?
Yeah.
Be on your best.
I'm ready.
Be on your best behavior.
Yes. Future governor, remember.
Tongues back in your mouth. Don't do the mask thing. It's time for Carrie Lake. Miss Carrie Lake, how are you?
I'm doing well. They're still letting you guys broadcast out there, or did they completely cancel you yet?
No, they've completely removed us from YouTube. We're just on Rumble today.
Oh, no.
I know.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah, well,
screw YouTube. Screw it.
Well, one of them is because of you, and then we still don't know the reason for the second strike, but if we get three, we're permanently removed. They have not given us a reason, and I don't think that it's by chance that you, who's winning the governorship right now, that was the first episode they removed.
I'm starting to add to my list of things we can't talk about anymore as Americans, and maybe it was because we did you talk about vaccines, election, Pelosi? You can't talk about Pelosi anymore, COVID, the genders.
Right.
You can't talk about Biden's mental state, mm-hmm. the laptop. Mm-hmm. Did you talk about Ukraine?
His 54 states.
Yes, 54 states. We haven't talked
ivermectin.
About... Right, ivermectin, that's another one. Ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. We actually had a whole segment rebutting Trevor Noah, kind of going after you, but if you want, we can do it with you here, but or we can just sit here and talk, because we have his claims and then the truth.
Who is that? Who is Trevor Noah?
Answer taken. All right, I understand.
I'm serious. Well, who is Trevor Noah?
No, that's a fair question. Well, you know, well, he's retiring, and it's kind of tough to retire when no one knows that you were unretired.
That you were working in the first place. Oh, my gosh.
Right. Well, okay. He goes through the same thing as always, where he says, oh, you flipped from Democrat to Republican. We have the clip where you explain that. He claims, oh, you were friends with a drag queen. We know that that's not true. He also tries to claim that you were pushing conspiracy theories, by the way, on hydroxychloroquine. And by the way, just to be clear on that, so that you don't even have to respond, your tweet was peer-reviewed COVID-19 study, low-dose hydroxychloroquine with zinc and azithromycin is an effective therapeutic treatment against COVID-19. Okay. He showed that on his show and said, crazy conspiracies. Right now we have an overlay from PubMed. ZPAC, in fact, did show a bunch of promise in clinical trials. You can make that statement factually now, but they want to try and label it conspiratorial, just like you saying, hey, we want to tighten the security of our elections in Arizona. So it's the same old attacks.
I know, it is. And I mean, I don't know, are people watching this stuff? I guess I'm out there with the people every day, Stephen, and we're drawing massive crowds. And these are everyday people who are working hard, just trying to make ends meet. And they're not talking about what the media is talking about. They're talking about, can we please get our border secure? Can we please make sure Arizona doesn't turn into California? Please make sure they stop teaching our kids 50 different genders at school. Please make sure that we can cut crime and help people who are struggling with this economy.
Yeah.
They're not talking about whatever this guy's name, Noah or whatever.
Yeah.
They're talking about the issues that are affecting them. And so I think the media is on their last gasp of breath. I know I say this all the time. No one's watching. I get a hold of the ratings here in town of our local TV stations, and some of them have less than 1,000 viewers.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right.
And they have the reach of 7 million.
Right.
Less than 1,000 are watching.
Well, that's why I say, you know, it's no chance, no happenstance, by the way, that this is occurring with our channel going into the election. You know, we talked about this the last election. We had over 16 million people who tuned in, more than any individual program, period, in the country.
Yep.
And they want to make sure that we do not have that reach, because specifically we have people like you on the program. By the way, this is something that's interesting to me. I wanted to get your opinion really quickly. You hear this in the media where they say, oh, it's a dead tie with you and Hobbs. So here's the thing. New York Times has it 48-48. The RCP average, for people who don't know, that's the aggregation of polls, has it, you up 3.8%. The best poll has you actually up by 11 points. How much credence do you give the polls? Do you have any internal data to give you an idea as to how far ahead you are? By the way, I think you'll be winning this.
Well, I do know this. I have some people who are incredibly good at understanding methodology. And, you know, you're going to think I'm just saying this because I like the 11 points up poll, but I've had my people look at that and they said the methodology was incredible. A poll earlier this week, which just had me up barely anything, they had, I think they polled about 400 or 500 people. That's not enough to poll in this state, and the methodology was bad. We got another poll today, just came out. I've got to look up to see who it was. If you want me to look it up, I will. Actually, I'll have my husband look it up for me so I can focus on this. It showed us up 11. We had a poll a couple days ago showing us up 9. These are polls that are polling more than 1,000 people. They're polling people using cell phones, texting, not just landlines. I mean, how many people out there in your audience actually answer the kitchen phone?
I think
how many people have a kitchen phone?
We have a few skeleton mascots in our office kitchen right now because of Halloween. I think that's the closest you'd find.
That's right. Okay, this was the Phillips Academy poll, and it was my people looked at it. They said the methodology is incredible. It was polled October 29th and October 30th, so the last couple days they were in the field. I'm at 53%. Hobbs, the racist, is at 42%.
Hold on a second. I assume that you were anticipating this follow-up question. Hobbs the racist, you have my curiosity.
Oh, I thought we talked about this before. She's a twice convicted racist. Two juries in 2021, this isn't like 15 years ago, two juries in 2021 unanimously convicted her of racism for paying women of color in her office $30,000 less than white men who do the same job. Hmm. Yes, I'm talking about a Democrat and all the crap they say about us. She paid women of color $30,000 less than the men in her office. And when this woman came to Katie Hobbs and said, hey, I just found out I'm making $30,000 less than the men doing the same job, guess what Katie Hobbs did? She fired her on the spot. This is a single mother, a single black mother was fired on the spot for asking why she's making $30,000 less. Two juries unanimously found Katie Hobbs guilty of that. And the award, the settlement, was nearly $3 million. The people of Arizona are paying that settlement. And, you know, you think about what we could do with that $3 million. We could give every state trooper a $5,000 raise or at least bonus. It's really despicable.
Yeah.
And then we found out when she had a forum that they threw her softball questions. Of course, they gave me the tough ones, which I don't mind.
Right.
But they asked her to name one good thing that she's learned from the Latino community, which comprises a third of our state population.
Yeah.
She couldn't come up with one thing. She spent a minute with ums and ahs.
Yeah.
It was. And then when a black male reporter showed up and saw her at a restaurant and went to ask her some questions about her record, she could Maced not get him. Away from him fast enough. She spilled her food, spilled her drink, and ran from this black reporter and hid in a bathroom. She is racist. She doesn't like people of color. And
she's a hypocrite because I bet you she didn't run to a gender-neutral bathroom. That's how she got away.
You're absolutely right. She ran into a women's bathroom and probably cried in there waiting for her staff to come and retrieve her. And so I believe the polls showing her down because I know that people in Arizona don't want to hire a racist. They're not going to hire a coward. We've got a lot of big issues facing us, and we need somebody who's got the, as they say, cojones to handle it. And it,
well, I don't know about that, Miss future Governor Lake, because Fox 10 Phoenix ran election results, the numbers actually, last week, and they declared Katie Hobbs the winner. So do you have any comment on that?
Yes, 12 days out, they've declared the winner, and it's the person who no one's voting for. Well, they blamed that on the AP. Shocking. Have you noticed this happens every once in a while? You'll see this. It's like last election. They'll pop up some numbers and they say, oh, we were just practicing. We were preparing, you know, our graphics package or whatever. It always goes the Democrats' way. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
You never see a mistake like that where they show me winning by 70%.
Right.
And Hobbs losing by 30 with the red check mark by my name.
Right.
You never see that by the Republican. And it's a bunch of wishful thinking by the liberals at the AP and the liberals in the fake news.
Yeah, that's a good point. How do the mistakes always go one direction 100% right. of the time? I wanted to ask you, well, first off, I want to ask you a couple of things. And then we'll go to Mug Club exclusive. But look. You know, we have a law in Texas. There's a law in Florida where people, if they are wrongfully discriminated against by social media companies, big tech companies, I believe it started in Florida where political candidates, for example, if they were removed right. from the platforms, could sue. And then I believe it was actually citizens in Texas. I'm not sure as to the status of the law, but states are able to make it so that big tech companies in those states can be held accountable if they censor on political viewpoint. This is something that's been done by governors. If when you're governor of Arizona, do you have plans to do something like that to fight the big tech issue on a state level?
Yes, we do. And I think that what Governor DeSantis did was great. We have some great governors out there. They're all Republicans, by the way. Sure. I mean, Glenn Youngkin threw out some great executive orders and he's put some great legislation, helped get some great legislation passed in Virginia. He's really gone after this woke garbage. DeSantis has done great things on every level and put out some great EOs, executive orders, and helped get some legislation passed. Kristi Noem has done the same. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. If it's working in those states, let's take it, make a carbon copy, put Arizona on it, tweak it a little bit, and do it here. But we are no longer going to allow these leftists who've taken over the Democrat Party, and I'm not talking about all Democrats. I think there's still some good Democrats over there who are probably going, what's happened to the Democrat Party? Yep. I'm talking about the leftists who have taken over this party. They're Marxists. We're not letting them chart our future anymore.
Right.
They are driving us into the ditch. They want us to become a communist nation, and we're not going to let that happen. So we'll work to make sure that we protect these rights that we have. It is absolutely outrageous, and it should be criminal to take somebody who's running for office and take their voice away for political reasons. And that's what we need to protect.
Yep.
You know, if you own a company, Stephen, and you decide you don't want certain people on it, not a lot I can do about that. But we can protect this ability for these social media companies to stop a political candidate who's yep. legitimately running for office. They tried to do that with one of our guys here yesterday on Twitter, and thank God Elon Musk stepped in.
Well, YouTube did it with you on our show. You're talking about seven-figure viewership. You on our show, right? It was a breakout interview, and that was removed. And it was removed because they said that you floated election conspiracies. I don't know if you remember. You were talking about the primary yeah. that you won.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's it was removed. Right.
That's an exact example. I think it should extend not only to politicians, but that's an easy place to start. But look, if they are afforded the rights of being a platform, not a publisher, then they need to be held accountable. And if they right. are, in fact, a publisher, then they can be sued just like the New York Times can be sued. And they are acting as publishers. And you do have that ability as governor. I would really yeah. love to see you
We'll look into it. We'll look into it. You're right. It's a town square. It's kind of a, yeah. it's a place where ideas are floated and we need to have freedom of speech. And if they're going to have, especially any help at all from the government, then they have to abide by the First Amendment. Well,
that's a very important point, because here's something that a lot of people don't fully understand with YouTube. And I don't say this as though people are ignorant. I've had to work in this space. There's the law. And then there's the YouTube rules. So I'm pretty sure that Arizona, for example, is a single party consent state. I know that Texas is, where that means you can record a conversation or a video, you know, you can film someone without their permission if it's in a public space. That's the law. That's how investigative journalism is conducted, right? That's how every single sting has taken place. That's how crime is exposed. YouTube says, well, it doesn't matter if that's the law. We have had people sign releases, give their name on camera with interviews conducted in single party consent states. They didn't like the way the piece went afterward, even though it was unedited, and then went to YouTube and said, remove it. And YouTube said, well, it doesn't matter what the law is. This person doesn't want to be on there. We have a release form and we're within our rights in that state. There's the mm-hmm. law, and then they operate outside of the law, even though they are required to follow the law if they're a platform. These are easy ins that I think a lot of people are missing.
Well, and one of the reasons I'm so excited about Blake Masters here, and I'm working with him, and we're trying to get the whole Republican ticket a big victory, is he gets all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, listen, I'm a middle-aged lady. I still need help sometimes technically with things on my phone. But what I do understand is the Constitution, and I want our constitutional rights back. Yeah. But we need someone like Blake to get into the Senate. And, you know, these guys like Mitch McConnell, they've been in there forever and ever. He doesn't understand these tech tyrants. Not that even if he did understand it, he may not even want to do anything about it. They've had all this chance, these career politicians. We need some young blood in there who understand the tech world, and Blake gets it, to come up with some legislation to protect the people of this country and restore our liberties and our freedom, yeah, and our First Amendment.
Yeah, I think he's down right now, the RCP, by 2.4, which is, by the way, well within the margin of error. And like you said, some of the methodology, yeah, with the polls is questionable. I feel pretty confident that you'll win. If someone were to ask me, I think it's a toss-up with Masters, but I would like to see that. You know, it's a good way of putting it. You know, he can be a Spock to your Kirk. Not everyone is a Spock.
Yeah.
You need a leader, and then you need good advisors.
I would rather be Kirk.
Yes.
I'm just putting that out there.
Yes.
He's got a little more kind of swagger, doesn't he?
Well, he does. But even in your reporting, you were a better actor than Shatner. So I don't want to denigrate you with that. Well, look, did you have a question there, Gerald, or do we need to go to...
Let's go to let's go to Mug Club.
So even though we don't need to be afraid of what we
if
can...
If Joe's going to ask questions, I need some coffee. Hold on.
Okay, well, that's all. We're going to go to Mug Club here. Everyone, we're going to take your chats. We're going to continue with Carrie Lake. Get out and vote in Arizona. By that, I mean in person. We'll continue. Rumble. Thank you very much. Mug Club, we go.